This sermon was recorded at Christ Church Mission, a congregation that seeks to be a people fully alive in God's kingdom.
This is a reading from the book of Galatians. Paul, an apostle, sent not from men nor by a man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers and sisters with me, to the churches in Galatia. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let them be under God's curse. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let them be under God's curse. Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel I preached is not of human origin. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for the chance for us to be here to worship you. Lord, you said when two or three gather in the name of Jesus that he is present in their midst. So we trust that the Lord Jesus is here with us right now in a special way. We pray that the Holy Spirit would come and be our teacher, open our ears, guide us, correct us, encourage us. Lord, we ask this because we need your help, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm Jay Fowler. I am the executive director of the Midwest region of PastorServe. PastorServe is a ministry to pastors all over the United States. I happen to lead the Midwest part. I get to work with a wonderful staff of about 10 folks. We work with pastors of all different kind of denominations all over the place. And I really enjoy that ministry that I get to do with them. I am also an Anglican priest, and I love this church. I love Dean and Jenny, and this is their last week on their sabbatical. So I do a lot of sabbatical coaching with pastors, again, kind of all over the place. And when I get to this week, when I'm doing coaching with pastors, I ask them to think about, like, what is it that God has been saying to you during your sabbatical that you think he wants you to take with you as you resume your ministry. So be praying for a dean, just like I'm sure God's been showing him things. Just pray that whatever that is, that it'll stick. You know, that it'll stick with him as he comes back and resumes his ministry as your shepherd. Just pray for that continued refreshment for him as he gets this one more week. So he'll be here next Sunday. I think somebody else is preaching though, right? Yeah, somebody else is preaching. Okay, happy Juneteenth. That's an important day that we're celebrating as a country now. It was based on when the enslaved African Americans heard that they were free, where they had been rescued from slavery, so to speak. It's also Father's Day, so happy Father's Day. Dads, thanks so much for being here. I know that there may be other things that you'd rather be doing, but I'm glad you chose to come here. So, way to be here. I have three adult kids. My son lives here in Kansas City. He's married and lives up by the airport. I have a daughter who lives in Chicago, and I have another daughter who lives in Nashville and is married and has our first grandson, and they were here this week. So we celebrated Father's Day on Wednesday, and this is the card I got. It says, "Dad, I know you do a lot for me. Go out of your way for me and do whatever you can to make me happy. And since it's Father's Day, I just wanted to say, I'm worth it." Those are the kinds of kids I've raised. You know, if my dad were alive, he would be 102. 102. He was born in 1920. He was a co-pilot of B-17 bombers during World War II. He was shot down over occupied France. He said to me, he said, Jay, I could see the English Channel ahead of me. And then he was out of formation because his plane was so shot up that they couldn't keep up with their formation of B-17. So he was flying alone. A fighter pilot saw him, zoomed in on his plane and shot them down. He was taken to a officer's prisoner of war camp up by the Baltic Sea. And he was there for 16 months until the end of the war. So during those times, of course, they were mistreated. They were starved at one point. They also found ways to recreate. He told me, of course, you know, he died in 2000. And he told me the movie, The Great Escape. Have any of you seen that movie, The Great Escape? It's an old movie. I recommend it. It's kind of done like old style. So it feels almost more like a play than like an action movie. But he said that was probably captured, you know, like what his prison camp was like in his day. That was a movie that he said seemed pretty accurate. You know, toward the end of the war, he said that during the war, they had German officers that led the camp and German troops. And they pretty much followed the rules of war and Geneva Convention, except for some things like, you know, withholding food and stuff like that. But then one day, most of those guys were gone and they were replaced by the SS, which were the really like notoriously mean German soldiers. And he said they were really scary. And then one day they woke up and those guys were gone and it was just a bunch of like older retired Germans that were running the prison camp. And then one day they woke up and those guys were all gone and the camp was empty. That was April 30th, 1945. The next day, May 1st, the Russians came, who were our allies during World War II, and rescued them, set them free. And they were free from that point on. There's a whole lot about that, his particular prison camp, that you can read online about what happened. There was a colonel, an American colonel that was in prison that spoke on behalf of the prisoners. And he really went toe-to-toe with the Russian commander about what the fate of the prisoners was going to be and how they would be handled. So it's really, really fascinating thing. But we're going to be talking today about the gospel in the book of Galatians, but the theme is the gospel is rescue. So I want you just to hold that in your head today, because that's really all I'm going to talk about is the gospel is rescue. It's kind of a simple one-point message today. But I do want to set up the historical context of this book for you as we get started. So the book of Galatians was written probably around 49 AD. It's the first letter that we have that Paul wrote, like his earliest letter. Paul in it, you can just follow along. I'm just going to look at the first three verses, but you can follow along in your bulletin. Paul says, Paul, an apostle sent not from men nor by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead and all the brothers and sisters with me. So the author of this letter is Paul. And Paul had been a like very religious Jewish Pharisee. He followed all the rules, very, very learned, and he actually hated Christians. He wanted to kind of stomp them out. So he led persecutions against Christians. When one famous Christian, a guy named Stephen, was stoned to death, Paul applauded that, thought that was a good idea. But then something amazing happens. Jesus, the risen Jesus, appears to Paul, he goes by the name Saul, is it when he was in his Jewish former life, appears to Saul, and after that, Saul is completely changed. And then he starts going by the name Paul, which would be his Greek name, because he's sent by Jesus mainly to Gentiles to preach the gospel to them. So, the author of this letter is Paul, and then he calls himself an apostle, and all the word apostle means is a sent one, okay? So he felt sent by God. In fact, Paul says that very explicitly in his own words. When he talks about his conversion later in the book of Acts, he says these things in Acts chapter 26, verse 15. The Lord appears to him, and then we'll jump in. Then I asked, who are you, Lord? I am Jesus, whom you're persecuting, the Lord replied. Now get up and stand on your feet. I've appeared to you to appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you've seen of me and what I will show you. So he's saying, like, hey, I'm appointing you as a servant and a witness, and I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I am sending you to them. That's that sent, a sent one. I am sending you to them to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are being sanctified by faith in me. So Paul is a sent one, one sent by Jesus himself to proclaim the good news of forgiveness. Okay, so who is he writing to? He's writing to, in verse 2, the churches in Galatia. So Galatia is a region, kind of a large geographical region, kind of like the greater Kansas City area, you know. And in that region, there were lots of towns. It's in what's modern, kind of the center of modern-day Turkey, all right? So Paul had gone on one of his, really on his first missionary journey, he had gone to that region and preached the gospel to four towns that are mentioned in the book of Acts. He might have preached to more, but there are four mentioned in Acts. Antioch, Iconium, Lystra, and Derbe. Okay, so he was the first person to come share about Jesus with these folks. And he has pretty cool success there with the gospel. So he's writing to the churches in that area. A lot of scholars think they probably shared this letter from church to church that Paul had written. He has one kind of overriding concern, and that is that they won't leave the gospel behind that he had preached to them. He's really concerned that they're going to go off and believe other things because apparently they were beginning to do that. They were beginning to believe that really to be right with God, you had to do a whole bunch of stuff. And Paul's going, no, to be right with God is just believing Jesus died for you in your place. That's what makes you right with God. So the whole book of Galatians is really about that big thing of hold on to the gospel. And right here at the beginning of the book, Paul emphasizes this part of the gospel, that the gospel is about rescue. Okay? The gospel is about rescue. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of God our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So Paul says Jesus gave himself for one big purpose here. There are other purposes, but here is to rescue us from the present evil age. So the idea of God rescuing is actually throughout the whole Bible. God is a God who loves to rescue. Like through the Psalms, lots of times the psalmist will pray, Lord, rescue me. Rescue me from people who want to hurt me. Rescue me from evildoers. So it's a theme all through the Bible that God is a God who loves to rescue. In Isaiah 46, verse 4, the prophet Isaiah says, on behalf of God, even to your old age and gray hairs, I am he. I am he who will sustain you. I have made you. I will carry you. I will sustain you. I will rescue you. That's what God says. It's the heart of God. He sees our predicament and he wants to come in and get us out of it. He wants to rescue us. The word that Paul uses here in the Greek, in Galatians, is a very specific, powerful word for rescue. It means to snatch somebody out of a really bad, dangerous situation. It's only used a few times in the New Testament, actually. And so it's a very graphic word. It's used of Peter when he's imprisoned by Herod, who had already killed one of the apostles. And it says that he was rescued from prison. He was saved from Herod, basically killing him. It's a word that's used in the book of Acts about Paul when an angry mob's about to kill him and a Roman centurion comes in and rescues him from the mob that's about to kill him. So it's a strong word that means really rescuing from danger. And that's why I love, thanks Greg so much again for singing the song, Come Thou Fount. I asked Greg at the last minute to sing that for us because I like that phrase, he who rescued me from danger. Right? He rescued us from danger. So, what is the danger that Paul thinks we need rescuing from? Well, he says it's this present evil age, but that's kind of vague. But he goes into more depth in the letter he writes to the Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 and 3, he explains, well, what is exactly this present evil age, and what's the danger there? As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. So Paul's saying, here's what this evil age is about. There is a ruler, I like this phrase, the ruler of the kingdom of the air. Isn't that interesting? It's a spiritual thing. There's this oppressive ruler. He's at work, the spirit's at work in the people who are disobedient. And you followed it. And then Paul goes, hey, so did all of us. That's what I love. He goes on to say, all of us also lived among them at one time. And what does it look like when you follow that? That kind of ruler of the air? It looks like gratifying the cravings of your sinful nature, following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. Objects of wrath meaning that God wasn't happy with what we were doing, living under this other spiritual influence. That didn't make God happy. And how we acted and how we sought out, I have a little bit different version, but as we were fulfilling the cravings of our flesh, that God wasn't happy about that, right? So we were objects of wrath. We were in discord with God. That's part of the predicament. That's part of the danger that we're in. We're being manipulated by this spiritual force. It's oppressive. And we're out of whack with God because of that. So it's sort of like my dad in prison camp. While he was in prison camp, he was under the rule and the authority of the Germans there. You know, probably nobody in this room even knows this show. But when I was a little kid, there was a show called Hogan's Heroes. Anybody ever see Hogan's Heroes? Okay, there you go. So Hogan's Heroes was a sitcom about prisoners of war in World War II in Germany. And I can remember watching that show with my dad, and it was supposed to be funny, and my dad saying, hey, see what they're doing there, Jay? And I go, yeah, and he goes, we would have been shot if we did that. I go, oh, okay. And then a little bit later in the show, oh, Jay, see what they're doing right there? I go, yeah, we would have been shot if we did that. You're like, oh, ouch, it's not so funny anymore. You know, but like, he lived, all of them, 9,000 prisoners of war lived under this very strict, high control, really rough environment of the German prison camp leaders. It was a dangerous situation. You could be killed for just getting out of line. And you know, Paul's saying that's what this present evil age is like. It's sort of like that. It's like there's this oppressive force, this ruler of the air, this spirit that's in charge of this place, and it's malevolent. It wants to hurt you. And so you're sort of stuck under that reign, under that dominion, under that authority, if you are not in Jesus Christ. Without Christ, you're a victim of this kind of other thing. That's the danger. That's the thing that Paul is saying. Jesus gave himself for us to rescue us from that. So what does it look like if you are not in Christ, but you're under this sort of malevolent force? It might look like you feel powerless. That you sense there's something wrong, but you just don't know what to do about it. You might feel the weight of guilt. You might be aware that you're doing things that aren't right, but you don't really know, you're not really sure, but you feel guilty. You might feel stuck. You might feel oppressed spiritually. You might feel hurt, damaged. You might realize you're hurting other people, but you can't seem to stop. It's just an awful, dangerous place to be. So what does it mean to be rescued from that present evil age? It means you don't have to live under the dominion of darkness anymore. It means You can be under a loving Lord who wants to rescue you. It means that your status can change from prisoner to free, from oppressed to rescued. So when you become a Christian, something actually does change. Your status changes. You're no longer under that other force. You are under the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who loved you and died for you. It's an amazing boss, not a tyrannical one, right? Your status changes. That's part of what happens when you accept Christ, when you surrender to Him. He pulls you out of the present evil age. Of course, we live in the effects of it still, but our leader has changed. So what does it mean then to be rescued? It means that you can be forgiven and made right with God. You are no longer an object of wrath. You know, you're an object of love. You can be set free from that spiritual power. You can find your safety in God now. You can enjoy grace. That means undeserved love and peace in God your Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So let me read again kind of the gospel in a nutshell as Paul puts it for us here right at the beginning of this book about the gospel. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from this present evil age, according to the will of God our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So right now in this room, there may be someone who says, you know, I wouldn't call myself a Christian. And I do sense this weird oppression that you're talking about. I do get that. I do feel a sense of guilt and sometimes powerlessness. I am aware of the hurt and pain I carry and the pain I've caused other people. And I don't know what to do. I would say, call out to the one who wants to rescue you right now. He died for you. He loves you. He wants to transfer you out of that dominion into a new dominion, his dominion, out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. All you have to do is say, I need you. Please rescue me. I am sorry for the things I've done wrong. Please forgive me. And then he welcomes you into a brand new family. He saves you and rescues you from this present evil age. Okay, guess what? God's rescuing doesn't stop at our conversion. He keeps rescuing us. That's what he likes to do. He knows we keep getting in predicaments. He knows this world is an evil age, and we're going to get hurt and find ourselves in bad situations. Sometimes things that happen to us, and sometimes things that we create ourselves. It doesn't matter. He still loves to rescue us. So here's a cool thing. I say Galatians is probably the first letter that we have that Paul wrote, right? The last letter that we have that Paul wrote is a book called 2 Timothy. It was written to a guy named Timothy who Paul had mentored and discipled and had really been a spiritual father to. And it's the last letter that we think that Paul wrote before he was killed, okay? So he writes to Timothy, and it's kind of his last, like, recollections and kind of his last charge to Timothy. And it's interesting. It's so fascinating to me that in this last letter, Paul thinks back to his days in Galatia. He kind of harkens back to that for a minute. So let me tell you what he says here. He says to Timothy, "You, Timothy, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, and endurance, persecutions and sufferings, what kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured." So he's hearkening back to those towns in Galatia. And he says, "Yet the Lord rescued me from them all." The Lord rescued me from all of them. So here's what happened. In Antioch, things went pretty good for Paul. He preaches and a lot of people like respond and become Christians, but there's some opposition to it, all right? So there's some opposition. He goes on to this town called Iconium, and he preaches and he goes again pretty amazingly well, and yet there's more opposition, so much opposition. In fact, they want to kill Paul by throwing rocks at him. They want to stone him to death. But he escapes from there, and he goes on to another town, Lystra. And in Lystra, again, things go pretty well, preaching the gospel, but the opposition gets even more intense, and they actually stone Paul almost to death. He's laying on the ground. They stop throwing rocks at him because they think he's dead. And Paul says, "The Lord rescued me out of everything." I look at that, I go, how is that a rescue? That doesn't seem like a rescue, right? But Paul thought of it as a rescue. We don't know exactly why, but it's probably because he was able to get up and go to another town, Derbe, and preach the gospel there. And then, guess what he did after that? He went back through all those towns to make sure that they could strengthen the Christians who were there, the very towns that they wanted to kill him in. So for Paul, he goes, God rescued me. He rescued me from everything. And you know what? He wants to rescue you from everything. It doesn't mean that you won't have hard times. It doesn't mean you won't be persecuted. It doesn't mean something bad might happen to you. It still could. But in the midst of that, God wants to rescue you. That's his thing. That's what he likes to do. Somehow he gets us through things if we will rely on him. He can get us through terrible things if we will rely on him. He can pull us through out of danger. He wants to rescue us. And then Paul talks about one final rescue. At the end of the whole book, really, of 2 Timothy, in chapter 4, verse 16, Paul says, "At my first offense, no one came to my support. Everyone deserted me. May it not be held against them. But the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. And I was delivered from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom." Sometimes God's rescue is to bring us home with him. Sometimes that's the final rescue, is he actually does take us out of this evil present age, body, soul, and spirit, into heaven. So even that is a way that God rescues us. And sometimes we don't see it that way, but that's the heart of God. At some point, all of you, including me, will be ultimately rescued into the arms of our Heavenly Father in heaven. So what do you need rescuing from today? Maybe it's a hard situation at work. Maybe it's trouble in your marriage. Maybe it's some sort of financial challenge. Maybe it's some recurring sin that you just can't seem to stop doing. Maybe it's negative thoughts, or you're depressed, or you're anxious all the time. Maybe it's a painful memory from your past. What is it that you need rescuing from today? There's a God who wants to help. He is the God who has appeared in the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for you to rescue you from this present evil age. And he wants to rescue you right now, whatever it is that you're going through. So I want to end by praying for you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a God who loves to rescue. You know everything that we've brought before you today in this room. You know the things that we've hidden way back into the dark places of our heart that we need rescuing from. Oh, Lord, rescue us. Rescue us from danger. And then open our eyes, Lord, to see how it is that you've rescued us. What it is that you did to get us through what good it is that you're going to do on the other side of the rescue. Thank you, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.